from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, baby, here we go. Headlines on a kind of rainy Tuesday afternoon right here on Softy and Dick. Brought to you by, of course, our friends at VenueKings.com.
What are we doing?
You know, I'm
flabbergasted.
We got news in college football games getting postponed all over the place. Three in the SEC of note. No Alabama LSU, no Mississippi State Auburn, and no Texas A&M Tennessee, all because of COVID-related issues in the Southeastern Conference.
I got some Nick Chubb news for you in just a second, Dave. I just wanted to give you a tease on that. The NFL has improved a contingency plan for 16-team playoffs if the regular season games are canceled, and the Browns have designated running back Nick Chubb to return from the IR.
And that's what Kitchens wanted today, a lot of Chubb.
Basketball news, sad news. How many folks remember Tommy Heinsohn doing CBS with Dick Stockton back in the day? Celtics and Sixers on CBS.
80s Rockets. Sonics, Western Conference semis, that was the team for those games.
Did a lot of work with the Celtics TV network as well, and he won 10 championships in Boston as a player and a coach, by the way. Tommy Heinsohn passing away at the age of 86 today.
Cowboys have lost rookie corner Trevon Diggs for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken foot, and Ravens Pro Bowl defensive lineman Calais Campbell will miss the next few weeks with a calf strain.
Let's get to the Husky Honks right now.
From our Honkville studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR, this is the Husky Honks, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Make the most of every moment. Make it count. Please drink responsibly. By your Western Washington Toyota dealers. Visit your local Toyota dealer today or visit buyatoyota.com. And by Hammer & Nail, the preferred custom home builders and remodelers for fans. Go to hammerandnail.biz.
Here come the dogs.
It's time for the Honks on your home for the Huskies. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Well, the Husky Honks are brought to you by our friends at Jack Daniels, Western Washington Toyota dealers, and our friends at Hammer & Nail, where my contractor is now your contractor. And we were supposed to be sitting here welcoming in guest honk Terry Holloman for week number two of the Husky season, talking about hopefully a big win in some alternate universe over the Cal Bears. But instead, we're continuing with the world's longest pregame show ever, counting down to the season opener on Saturday at 8 o'clock against Oregon State. Dick Baird is with us. And how about this, Dick? Former Husky running back. He's a native, baby. He knows what's up over on Montlake. Our friend, your friend, everybody's friend, T. Holla, Terry Holloman with us here is our guest honk for the week. Terry, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing good, man. I'm so glad to be here with you guys, man. I'm excited. I get to be a Husky honk for the first time in my life. This is something like I could strike off my bucket list, man. Yeah. Put on my resume.
Hey, listen, you'll find out in about an hour from now. It's really not that big a deal, all right, at all.
Absolutely not.
Dick can attest to that. Well, guys, first of all, before we talk about the Beavers on Saturday, let's just go back and talk about the disappointment of last week. And, Terry, we'll start with you. You find out Thursday. I mean, you wake up Thursday morning thinking you're 24, 48 hours away from playing Cal, opening up the football season. Put yourself in the shoes of these players, which you once were back in the day, and talk about how disappointed these guys were and how you would have handled that news last week.
Man, it was disheartening, man. You know, if I was a player in that situation, knowing I had spent so much time preparing for this season, you know, so much was on the line riding on this season all year long. I've been circling that first game versus Michigan, the Pac-10 versus the Big Ten. We've had that ready for us for my entire career, and it's canceled. Then they say our entire season is canceled, and then we get a chance to go again. Then they cancel the first game again versus Cal. I mean, there's so many emotions that send you up and down in that situation. I can only imagine that these guys were all over the map. But, of course, they got a great coaching staff. Coach Jimmy Lake does a good job of keeping these guys grounded, keeping them focused on what's ahead of them. And they had to do the next game up, you know, scratch off Cal. We don't have to worry about them anymore. Next game up.
Okay, Terry, great to see you again, man.
Yes, sir. Dick.
No, I had
a great... Go back.
Actually, he actually worked for me. He had to recruit. He didn't know he came to Washington and was going to be made a recruiter, but this dude's got a great personality, and I bought him a lot of steak dinners along the way. So
wait a minute. Did you buy those dinners after he committed and signed with UW or before he committed?
I was the recruiting host. Like, I was the guy that I hosted a lot of players.
Gotcha. So, I take the the parents and he'd take the kid.
Right. So right. All this was on the up and up is what you're talking about. Okay.
Oh, 100%.
I got you. Well, Dick, kind of pick up on what Terry was talking about there, man, from a coach's perspective, and we'll talk to Jimmy about this tomorrow night. You're putting a game plan, all this work, and as Terry mentioned, this is now the third time that Jimmy Lake has had his head coaching debut at Washington pushed back. First it was Michigan, then it was Stanford when that truncated schedule came out, and now it's California. So, dude, Dick, will the fourth time be the charm or what, pal?
Well, you know, one of the great things about the sport of football is that you got to go with the flow. You know, when something like this happens, you deal with it like an injury, only everybody got injured. But now, obviously, the 2020 has been quite a year, and we're all adjusting. We're just trying to get through it, and Coach Lake's done a marvelous job. I just think the world of him as a coach and as a human being, and you know, those you got to adjust. I mean, those kind of things happen. I can remember losing Mark Brunell in practice one day, you know, and said, well, yeah, guys, we got to go with the next guy. And, you know, he didn't like it, but that guy won 23 straight games and we won a national title. So sometimes it works out. This time, you know, we got to just wait and see. You know, Coach Lake's had his group of kids ready to go. And, you know, I mean, I know those doctors are doing a great job. They kicked me out of practice. So, but, you know, I totally get it. I was there on a day that they were indoor and, you know, there was no way. And they've been so diligent about every single aspect of this COVID crisis for as far as their team is concerned. And, you know, you just got to tip your hat to them and say, OK, come on, bring it on. You know, we just happened to draw the Beavers. The nice thing is we got a look at them. They didn't get a look at us.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But Terry, go back to that for a second, because there was some conversation on Friday morning about playing Arizona. Meaning you would give both teams one day to get ready for a Pac-12 football game, which seems insane. What I was told is if Washington would have known the day before that the Arizona-Utah game was not going to happen, then maybe they could have got something together in 48 hours. But planning a game like that with one day's notice, does that seem even reasonable or safe to you?
No, to be honest, just flat out no. I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, the players want to play. The coaches want to get the guys out there. Yeah. The fans want to see it. But I think, you know, Coach Bear can attest to it. When you put together a game plan, you know, for a Pac-12 opponent, a Pac-12 foe, it takes a long time. You just can't go in there 24 hours and come up with plays that are going to be effective against an opponent in the Pac-12, offensively or defensively or special teams-wise. You just don't know what the other team is going to do. And it's going to take a lot of preparation, a lot of repetition and practice, putting pads on pads, and being able to go out there and put together a game plan that'll be good enough to beat an Arizona team or Arizona to come in and be competitive against a Washington team. So I just think it would have been a bad idea. It would have been an ugly game.
Yeah.
It would have been you would have saw some Pac-12 players playing. A lot of people might have been happy about that, but it just wouldn't have been a very productive game.
I'm with you. You know, I love the fact that they at least talked about it, you know, for as ridiculous as the proposition sounds, to at least have that discussion and be willing to say, hey, is there anything we can do to salvage this situation as opposed to punting? I agree with that. But, Dick, you're a former coach. You coach linebackers, wide receivers back in the day. If somebody came to you with 24 hours and said, put together a game plan for anybody, what would you have said to that proposition?
Well, I just think that's a ridiculous idea. You know, that'd be impossible to get your team ready. You don't know. But then again, this is the first game of the season, and you got to expect the unexpected. You know, there's got to be there's something that they have done different. Now, that's what I say. The advantage for us is that we got a look at the Beavers, and they didn't get a look at us. So they have a new quarterback. We have a new quarterback. We don't even know who ours is, but we know who theirs is, and we got a good look. And I thought the Cougars were really impressive in that game, and Oregon State, you know, there's another Washington guy there. Their coach was our offensive coordinator for 2 years, so we've got a good idea of what Jonathan likes to do. But defensively, it's totally different. I mean, what Washington does and what the Cougars do are two different ball games. So I'd be real surprised if we see the same defense against us that they threw against the Cougars. But, you know, I on on the whole, I mean, I said, well, if we're not going to play, let's just play the next opponent. And that way you could dial it up and, you know, all these kids have got a chance. I got to look at both of our last two games myself, plus their first game three times. So I got a good feel for what they're doing. They have no feel for what we're doing. So
yeah, well, that's potentially, Terry, the silver lining here. And Jimmy talked about that as well, I think, yesterday, that, hey, look, the silver lining for UW is that they get to watch Oregon State play on Saturday night. But the other, you know, issue, I guess, the trade-off is that they're maybe in the mood, right? They've got some momentum going. You know, they've gone out there and kind of, you know, dusted off some of those cobwebs. So I don't know. I mean, does all that stuff really matter on Saturday? Because to me, the Oregon State team that I saw against the Cougars last weekend has a talent problem, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think, you know, I do think the Huskies do have an upper hand with being able to watch them play for the first game and sitting out and watching that and understanding what they want to try to throw at them offensively and what they want to try to do to them defensively, see some of their personnel, see some of the talent that they do have or, as you said, do not have out there.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said about getting out there and getting your pads, you know, getting your pads hit a little wet, banging up some guys a little bit and getting that experience of the first game under your belt. I know the Huskies want to see some of the new guys that they have in the fold get out there and do their thing and see if they with how they perform under the bright lights of Husky Stadium. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a surprise for all of us. I think that once you get out there and start hitting them, the Huskies, for their first time, all that goes out the window and we just start playing football.
Well, let's come back and talk about this matchup with Oregon State. More thoughts from Terry and Dick on this Husky football team that we have yet to see play. Obviously, it's the first game. We'll see. Knock on wood, if this thing goes off in time on Saturday night, you never know with this crazy crap we're living through right now. It'll be the first game they played in 11 months, for crying out loud. So lots of changes, lots of new faces, the coaching staff as well. Go back and talk about what we saw with the Beavers and Cougars on Saturday. Husky Honks are brought to you by our friends at Jack Daniels. They've always made whiskey, and if they have it their way, they always will. But there's one thing Jack can't make more of, and that's moments. Those are on us to create. Make sure we're making the most of every moment we have. Make it count. Jack Daniels, please drink responsibly. More with the Husky Honk, Softy, Dick Baird, Terry Holloman, T. Holla, our guest honk for the week, next right here on 950 KJR.
Hey. Now back to the Honks, brought to you by Jack Daniels, by your Western Washington Toyota dealers, and by Hammer and Nail on your home for the Huskies. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Husky Honks are brought to you by our friends at Western Washington Toyota dealers. Visit your local dealer today or visit buyatoyota.com. Softy, Dick Baird, Terry Holloman, our guest honk for the week. Don't forget our pregame show on Saturday, 4 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock kickoff with the Dogs and Beavers from Husky Stadium right here on 950 KJR. And before we kind of dive, Dick, into the matchup with Oregon State, the scouting report with Oregon State, I know you've watched this game probably 15 times already after they played the Cougars on Saturday, so we'll lean on you for some scouting service looks for the game on Saturday. Terry, first time we've had you on the air this year, and give us a take on kind of what you expect to see out of Washington football. What are some things that have you fired up, and maybe what are some things that have you kind of curious, if not concerned, about this team as we hopefully open up shop on Saturday night?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's going to be, you know, great to see some of the new faces out there. There's definitely going to be some new faces, but at the same time, they're going to be some experienced guys that are out there. We're only returning, what, 4 guys on offense, 5 on defense, 4 starters on offense, 5 starters on defense, but there are a bunch of guys that have a lot of playing experience. I'm excited to see the quarterback position, what's going to happen there. Seen lots of great tape on Kevin Thompson, what he was able to do last year in the Big Sky Conference at SAC. He's the guy that threw for 3,200 yards last season. Guy is a really, really great quarterback, a great athlete, a true dual-threat quarterback. I think the last time I've seen a quarterback at Washington run the way I saw him run when he was at Sacramento was probably Jake Locker. Wow. He's not Jake Locker by any stretch of the imagination when it comes to running, but he is mobile. And when things break down, he could take off and run. Plus, he has a really great arm. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see how he works with those receivers. I think we have one of the deepest receiving cores that we've had at Washington in years. And with a lot of young guys, Puka Nacua is a guy that we were excited about last year. Young guy. Fortunately, got hampered by some injuries during last season. But I think he has an incredible upside. Terrell Bynum as well. Somebody that I was fired up for a couple of years in a row has been Ty Jones. Now, I thought he was going to be a big player last year. unfortunately, injuries kept him down. I'm excited to see what he does. Running back position by committee, man, they are going to be solid. Even though we lost Savon Ahmed, I think they're going to be solid. I think Sean McGrew is an incredible, quick, fast guy. He's chopped down some pounds. Apparently, he was overweight, I guess, at 180 pounds. But he's going to be good in there. I think Newton is going to be incredible as well. So offensively, I think they should be in good shape, even though they have some new offensive linemen up front.
Yeah.
Defensively, linebackers, I think they're going to be pretty good, even though they lost two senior middle linebackers. But the guys that are replacing them are going to be solid. I love Sermon. I've been excited about him for years, Softy. I think MJ Tafisi did a great job last year in spot. Again, he was injured. But I think big things are going to come from those two guys. And my guy, Edifuan, how do you say his name?
Yolofoyo. Yeah, we just call him Eddie. We just call him Eddie O, by the way.
Call him Eddie O.
Eddie O. Yeah, you know, I'm excited about those guys. Again, Bowman's going to bring some experience coming off the edge right there. He's going to be good, but I'm also excited to see. I think we should see some of Savelle Smalls this year, who is probably, the most coveted defensive recruit in Husky history, maybe?
Yeah.
They should be good. And, of course, the secondary, if not the best in the Pac-12, maybe the nation. So Elijah Molden is going to be holding it down back there. Cameron Williams at free safety, who had an incredible freshman year. I think they should be good in the secondary. Just worried about the upfront guys, though, tell you the truth, guys. The down linemen on the defense, since we lost Levi and Tryon, I'm a little worried.
Well, Dick, jump in. Anywhere you want to go. That's a lot to unpack.
Kerry was on a good roll there.
Yeah.
I totally agree with him from the standpoint that I think the way to beat this team is you got to pound the rock. I mean, you've got to establish the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and that Kerry brought up the questions that Washington has there. I mean, obviously, you don't lose Joe Tryon and Levi on Woozeri and not have that impact your front. And actually, Pa'ahama left the program too. But they have guys there, and almost all of them were recruited by Akaika. So they all speak the same language. And
yeah, brother.
Yaman. So I think going into the game, the biggest if that I had was, what are we going to do at the quarterback position in the middle, and what are you going to do at the two middle linebackers? And you brought up two kids, Eddie and Sermon. The Sermon is a backstory, which is a really unique thing, that his father is the defensive coordinator of the team we were going to play, you know, and I just have thought he was coming last year. These guys are bigger, and both of them played well when they got a chance to play last year against this team. So, I mean, honestly, going into it, I mean, you better stop Jameer Jefferson. I mean, I don't care what you do. That's the key to their whole team. They have a first game quarterback. We get a second game out of him. He didn't show a whole lot, except he does like to throw the slant a lot off of the play action. So, I mean, you got to take away the slant pass because he's going to do that. But you got to take away Jameer Jefferson, who is really a rock hard running back, not the biggest guy, but I mean he's still their number one threat, and I believe that going into this game that if we can stop the run, number one, and then I have my old things, you don't lose the turnover ratio. And, you know, that's very important in the very first games of a season. You got to create some turnovers, hopefully on your own solid side, but you can't turn the rock over.
Yeah, well, at some point he'll tell you about the kicking game as well, Terry, so stay tuned for that, okay? Nobody will break the kicking game down in this game on Saturday between Oregon State and UW the way Dick Baird will, but I want to go back to the middle linebacker spot because both of you guys mentioned that with MJ Tafisi, or excuse me, Eddie Olafoshio.
MJ will help.
Yeah, and Jackson Sermon, but those two guys are your starters. I don't know if I remember, Terry, a year in Husky football where there was such a glaring, obvious weakness on the defensive side of the ball than last year at middle linebacker. I mean, look, obviously Brandon Wellington, Kyler Manu did the best they could. The effort was fine. No question about it. They just need an upgrade there. And I wonder, will it be obvious, Terry and Dick, and Terry, we'll start with you, to Husky fans, that there is an absolute upgrade this year at that position with guys like Eddie and Jackson Sermon?
I think you will notice an upgrade in that position. And you know, it's unfortunate those seniors last year, they gave it their all. I think they had a lot of effort. But I just think that the talent level that you're going to see with Jackson and Ulofosio and Tafisi in there in the middle, you know, however they rotate that, is going to be a tremendous upgrade. I actually thought that Jackson Sermon was going to start last year. Mm-hmm. The way that I watched him perform in preseason and at practice during 2 days and whatnot, I thought he looked really good. You know, they gave the older guys an opportunity to lose the spot, I guess. But I really thought he was good. He reminded me of like what I would consider an old school hard-nosed middle linebacker, like in the frame and the mold of, you know, I'm not trying to be blasphemous here, but in the mold of a Hoffman, a Dave Hoffman, or a James Clifford, like that kind of guy that should have a big white collar around his neck on his shoulder pads, and I'm going to go in there and tackle the hell out of people all game long. So I'm excited to see that. I haven't seen a lot of them in pass coverage situations, so that's the one place I'm curious to see how they pick up the, you know, tight ends in the crossing routes, and they drop back in coverage. So I have no doubt that they'd be all right because they're both athletic.
Well, that's the second big-time comparison, Coach, that we've heard Terry make. First, it was Kevin Thompson to Jake Locker, and now it's Jackson Sermon to Dave Hoffman and James Clifford. Those are pretty heavy comparisons, pal. I hope those guys can live up to the expectation, man. That's awesome. I love it.
He's not comparing their performance. He's comparing their potential.
Thank you, Dick. Thank you for clarifying for me.
Yeah. But, I mean, and they're both built really well. And MJ Tafisi, I don't think we can forget him. I mean, he showed a lot last year, got hurt. He's back in the fold. So I think up the middle they're going to be good. And you know that we got nine defensive backs who all lettered last year. So we know what they got behind them. Yeah. But the game of football has changed so much. When Terry played, we had three linebackers. In fact, Terry was a linebacker for a while. He played linebacker, running back, anywhere, recruiting coordinator. He just, you know. But the bottom line is Washington goes into this game still having not played a game. And so the Bees have a little bit of an advantage. And, you know, they made a great run in that game. It wasn't like that game against the Cougars was a three-point game with hardly any time left on the clock. They could very easily have won that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got the experience of having played in a game. Washington doesn't. And you know, Terry, and I know both as a coach and as a player, it's very difficult for that first game because you just got to get it out of your system. And there's only one way you do it, and that's to play it. So I would say this is, I agree with Dave. I think there was a lot of holes in the tape of the Beavers against the Cougars, but the Beavs played them tough, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, you don't put a lid on that running back, you know, he'll go for 150 on you, and he can do it, and he's a good receiver too.
My issue, guys, with the Oregon State Wazoo game is, first of all, I'm watching that game as you guys were late fourth quarter thinking, is Rolovich going to cougar in his first game ever as the head coach at Washington State? Because he was getting close. And then number two, I honestly don't know if those teams are any good, Oregon State and Wazoo. I just wonder, Terry, if there's going to be enough games to figure that out this year. This is more of a sprint and not a marathon. But, I mean, my God, I'm watching that game on Saturday night. And I was telling Dick before the show, Oregon State could not stop the run whatsoever. When was the last time we saw the Cougars run like that? And man, if they're getting gashed by Washington State, what are Richard Newton and Sean McGrew and all those guys in that backfield going to do on Saturday night? To me, that's where your depth is on offense, is at running back. So don't you go into this game on Saturday night thinking, let's get 35, 40 carries and run the ball down their throat.
Absolutely. I think you look at what Wazoo was able to do versus that defense on the ground. It was incredible what they ran for, well over 200 yards, 220, 230 yards. They had the quarterback was running all over the place. The running back was running all over the place. Most yards they had rushing in a couple of years. So I think that's obviously what the Huskies want to do, not just against Oregon State, but I think if you look at the way that the Huskies are built, the way that they succeed, the way that they win historically has been to ground and pound. Take the ball, turn around, hand it off to a big, strong running back or somebody that's going to get 4 yards on first down and then put us in second and manageable. I think that that's been the key to the Huskies' success over the last few years. And so I think there's no difference this weekend.
Is there anybody Dick, hang on real quick because I want to get Terry's thoughts on the running back position itself. Is there anybody in that group that you really like? Because I've been working under the assumption, guys, the entire offseason that this was going to be Richard Newton's coming out party. 200-plus carries in 2020. Obviously, that's not going to happen now with only 6 games, for God's sakes. But I always was working under the assumption that he was going to be the bell cow, and it sounds like maybe he won't. So between Cam Davis, Kamari Pleasant, Sean McGrew, Richard Newton, is there a Miles Gaskin? Is there a Lewis Rankin? Is there a guy that can be the bell cow and get 85, 90% of the carries in that group that you like?
You know, I always thought it was going to be Richard Newton myself. I thought Richard Newton was the guy, honestly, last year. I mean, I love Savon Ahmed. He is an explosive guy that can take it the distance from anywhere on the field. I just think Richard Newton is a guy that you can turn around and pound the ball with on every single down. He is built like an NFL running back right now. And I don't know what has happened in the offseason to cause that conflict to where maybe a Kamari Pleasant is the starter or maybe even getting Cam Davis in there. But I believe, in my opinion, the Huskies have a great future NFL prospect in Richard Newton, and to not utilize him would be silly.
Yeah. Dick, how about you?
Well, I really liked what Richard did against these guys last year. I mean, he played real well in the Beaver game, and I agree with Terry. But, you know, I also know that Sean McGrew was in the finals of the 100-meter in the state of California, and losing the 10 pounds that he had put on might put him back into an electrifying kid that is really good out of the backfield catching the ball. And that speed is, you know, he's a little guy anyway. So what's the difference if he's 180 or 165? You know, the guy is quick as heck. And you know, right now Pleasant is the senior and he came in at 230 pounds. And one thing you know that Kamari does well is block. So that might indicate, but you know, I think going into this game, the game of football has changed so much in the last 5 years. I mean, we don't play three linebackers anymore. You play two. They have a nickel package just like we do. I mean, basically four down linemen, but they only have two guys with their hands on the ground. But when they played against us last year, they had three guys on with their hands on the ground. So I think you might see a different defense than they saw against the Cougars, because they were going into the Cougar game trying to stop their run and shoot whatever it's called, you know. And honestly, they didn't do a very good job on either the run or the pass. So I think running the football is what Washington will do. And I think if we have the best running quarterback in the game, that will help us.
I also want to say, just make sure I put this out there. I do think Sean McGrew is an incredible running back. I saw some great stuff from him last year. He's not just fast and quick, which he is incredibly fast. As you said, to be in the state finals in California for the 100-meter dash, most people put that on their resume and walk away from everything, right? This guy is not just fast. He's strong in between the tackles. So I've seen him go in between the tackles. He's not afraid to put his head in there and break tackles. So that 1-2 punch for me of Newton and McGrew, to me, seems like it would be the natural fit for the Dogs.
Well, they went for 245 a year ago on these guys. Obviously, the majority of that was Ahmed, 25 carries, 174, and a couple touchdowns against the Beavers. And after watching what the Cougars did against Oregon State last week, I think that's where they will start. You know, you worry about, I guess, maybe guys in the first game with a new quarterback, a new coordinator, a new left tackle, a new center, communication errors, guys not being on the same page, obviously, things like that. There's some rust, right, that these guys are going to have to shake off, Dick, in this game on Saturday for sure.
I think, Dave, you're making a good point, but it also, you got to factor in that they've got an extra week of practice. And, you know, I think that this has been an extended period of time. This team should be ready. Yeah, I'm more concerned about, you know, turnovers as they happen in first games, you know, that can really, really set your team back. And so I think whoever the quarterback is, if we don't throw picks and we don't put the ball on the ground and we can get some, now they don't turn the ball over. I mean, yeah. All last year, Oregon State only threw 4 interceptions. Well, I'd like to see us get 2 in this game.
Well, they got the secondary to pull it off. And Terry, you mentioned that back end. Let's come back and talk about that, because at least for me on paper, that feels like the strength of this football team. And for right now, and this could change on Saturday, it's not even close. Hey, the Husky Honks are brought to you, of course, by our friends at your local Western Washington Toyota dealers. Visit your local Toyota dealer today, or visit buyatoyota.com, by Jack Daniels, and by Hammer and Nail. My contractor is now your contractor at hammerandnail.build. More with Dick Baird and Terry Holloman. Husky Honks, baby, continue next right here on 950 KJ.
Rings.
Now back to the Honks, brought to you by Jack Daniels, by your Western Washington Toyota dealers, and by Hammer and Nail on your home for the Huskies, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Husky Honks are back. Dog fans, Hammer and Nail are the perfect experts in the Puget Sound area for custom-built homes or large remodels. Jump on the web at hammerandnail.build to get going today on your project. Dick Baird is with us, obviously the Husky Honks. Terry Holloman, our guest honk for the week. Terry will be with us on Saturday. He will get to see in person, Dick, how calm and cool we are during Husky football games on Saturday at 8 o'clock in person when the Huskies kick off against Oregon State. And by the way, that was a lie. Terry will join us at 4 o'clock and see the chaos of the Honks on Saturday at Husky Stadium. Pregame at 4, kickoff at 8. And Terry, you mentioned last segment that secondary. And I mean, look, obviously they're getting all the accolades, right? You know, Pro Football Focus is talking about Trent McDuffie and Elijah Molden being two of the better cornerbacks in the country, not just the Pac-12. You saw Asa Turner a year ago make a great impact as a freshman. He's back now. Cam Williams, Keith Taylor have been here now for a while. On paper, the secondary looks like the strength, Terry, of this football team, and it's not even close. How about you?
Yeah, without a doubt, man. I've been a fan of Elijah Molden since day one, though, since he was here as a freshman. I've been waiting for him to step up to the plate. And he's had an opportunity the last couple of years to really get in there and do his thing. And, of course, he's learned from the best in the game. He's been, you know, being an understudy for several guys in the National Football League right now, right? And he's been under their the tutelage of Coach Jimmy Lake, learning from him on a daily basis. So, and not to mention his pedigree. His dad was a pretty good cornerback in his day that we got an opportunity to play against when I was in college as well. So I think he's just so technically sound, and he's physical, and he can cover, and he can play every position in the backfield. So my top guy is Elijah Molden. He would have been a first-round draft pick if he came out last
Dick,
year.
Dick, how about you? Is it an obvious strength of the football team? Is the hype warranted? Are the accolades warranted? Is this secondary, in your mind, going to be that good?
Well, I think they have too much depth. You can't get them all on the field at the same time, you know. But, I think coming in that you'd have to say that. And, obviously, if they could make the big plays on the back end. But, you know, we're going to have to stop the run, guys. You know, the secondary is going to have to fill, and they're going to have to tackle well. And that's one of those things of the first game jitters is how well do you tackle in your first game out, the first time you get to go against somebody else, and you take the tackle all the way to the ground, which you very rarely do in practice. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into this first game jitters as it is, but I really think that the defense as a whole looks really sound. I'm concerned a little bit about the depth at up front, because the we lost those so many guys, 3 or 4 kids off the defensive line, so that's going to make a difference. But you know, you wait till you see how these kids have changed in their bodies. I mean, the Tule Latule looks
Tule Asinosa.
Tulele looks great. I mean, he's got a totally different body than he had last year. I mean, he slimmed it down. I mean, he looks like he went to the same school that Jackson Kirkland did. Yeah. They both have gone from really big guys to, you know, more slim guys that can play a lot more downs. And I think that he's going to have to do that. And Taki has not come down, but he's still going to have to play a lot of snaps. And that's going to be a big difference for these kids, since they were backups most of all last year. But, you know, you got Josiah Bronson in there that who started last year. So he's going to really help up front. And, you know, I just think that, you know, Akaika Malloy, you know, Terry is your old teammate. You know, he was one of the toughest kids on in our program, and his kids as a group are tough guys. I mean, they come after it, and it's going to be our ability to control the line of scrimmage that will dictate this game. And these kind of games, first games out of the blocks, hey, yeah, cut down your splits and knock them off the ball. The Cougars were able to do it. We ought to be able to do the same thing.
Terry, how about you? Your thoughts on that defensive line? And I got a piece of advice for you. Just call them Tuli and Taki, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
No worries about phonetics or pronunciation charts, anything, you know, about that. But obviously, Joe Tryon, Levi are gone. They're out the door. They've both signed with agents, so forget about it, clearly. How big of a blow was that in your mind, those two guys taking off?
Now, I think it's a huge blow when you look at especially Levi there in the middle. What he was one of the top defensive linemen coming back in the entire country. So yep. You lose that kind of talent, it's obviously going to sting. Hopefully Josiah Bronson is ready to step in and fill that void. Coming off the edge, we're going to have to find out who that guy is going to be this year. Is it going to be Ryan Bowman stepping up, coming up off one edge? You know, I feel good about Taki and Tuli. Is that how I was saying?
There you go.
I feel good about those guys, man. I think they're really talented, really athletic. As long as they can stay healthy, I think they should be in pretty good shape there. I think when you lose a guy like Joe Tryon, I think he was really just coming into his own in Husky Nation. He was a guy that had so much upside and so much potential that we didn't really get to fully realize that here at Washington. So I wish those guys the best, but we have to move on. Just like you say, Dick, next man up, right? Let's go.
Right. Oh, no, that's right. And, you know, Latu is going to look really good. Changed his number, by the way. He was a lot of number changes now, Dave. There's a lot of kids that have on the defense now. Kyler Gordon went from 19 to 2.
Right.
Cam Williams went from 16 to 6. Taylor went from 27 to 8. Bronson goes from 90 to 11.
Okay, right there. How do you have a defensive lineman wearing number 11? How does that happen? Who allowed that to happen?
We had Benning last year with number 8, right?
Yeah, how'd that work out for Benning? How'd that work out for him? This is the problem when guys are sitting around for a year doing nothing. They start getting bored and doing crazy stuff like changing their numbers.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them that have done it.
But, you know, I went from 16 to 6-2 my freshman year, Kyler Gordon. Who went from 16 to 6? That was Cam Williams.
Yeah, he did.
Well, we're going to find out if these guys can play on Saturday. I mean, you mentioned that secondary again, Terry. And, you know, look, I mean, going back to the day, Taylor Rapp was always a great blitzer. Buda Baker was a great open field tackler. I think we know who the great cover corner is on this football team right now. It's Elijah Molden. But all those little nuances of what makes a secondary great, we're going to find out a lot more on Saturday night what these guys are all about. So let's cross our fingers, hold our breath, and hope this thing goes off on time on Saturday at 8 o'clock. Everyone do their job. Don't bring this stupid thing into the locker room. Can't control what Oregon State does. But so far, hey, man, credit to those kids and that coaching staff and those doctors at Washington. They've done a marvelous job so far over there at UW fighting this thing. So let's get out of here, and we'll reconvene, guys, Saturday, Terry, 4 o'clock, Husky Stadium. Dick, we'll see you guys there. Great stuff.
Go Dogs.
Excited about it. Go Dogs.
You love it. Terry Holloman, Dick Baird. We'll get a break. Dick Fain back in the mix. Walter Jones joining us at 5:20 on the radio show right here on 950. 50K.